Musicology 101.
Good morning, students. Welcome to school. Remember, the thought of the day is...
So what do we do?
We're going to stop her, because that's what heroes do.
Okay.
Good. Great.
Great.
Thank you.
Welcome to Musicology 101, the study of the nerd and geek in their natural habitat. I'm Gary.
Rudy.
John.
All right, here we go, people. Is this episode 3?
We are the knights that say... Neek!
Thank you. All right, there you go. Gotta be official.
Episode 3.
Wow. Hey, so let's
this
see.
Is our Revenge of the Sith.
Is that what it is? All right. Even though we're talking about Thor today, I'm good with that.
Yes.
Involving Return of the Jedi.
And right. Or this could be our Ragnarok.
Yes.
Right. Our Ragnarok, the end of all things. How can the beginning be the end? But that's okay. We are going to talk about Thor Ragnarok. It's been out long enough, so you shouldn't be spoiled by now unless you've been hiding somewhere. But
spoiler alert.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about stuff from Ragnarok. I think that was great. You know what? It's interesting. Kind of go back a little bit to Thor. I know Thor's character has been, the first one was short. Right? And we just begin to understand Thor. And if you've been watching all the movies and Avengers, his character's been, developing. But I think this movie really brought out more of him. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah. They had to make a hard left turn with the Thor character. Because the first one was great, established Thor. And then second one, Dark World. Probably wasn't. I think it's still kind of rated as one of the worst Marvel movies. The MCU.
What's the matter with you? You're embarrassing me. I told them we were friends.
A lot of people. Some people liked it, but it just got really dark, and
thus the Dark World.
Yeah, and so they wanted to kind of revamp the character, revamp Thor. And with Guardians of the Galaxy out, and that being a huge success with the type of theme that they had with the more lighthearted, kind of comical term.
I don't even believe you have a plan. I have part of a plan.
They went on a limb, and it was a success, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they really tapped into Chris, Liam, I know.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. I want to say his brother, Liam. Chris Hemsworth's, comedy chops.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty funny. Now, you see some of the outtakes that he does with Thor, and I think they tapped into that. And even though it went a little too humorous, I still enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, because really he was kind of dry in some of the other ones, and then because Robert Downey Jr. would get Iron, so all these things like, well, let him, and he does a good job.
Yeah, I think he does a real good job.
Well, and yeah, it's like the, the whole Greek god, persona of... I'm the mighty Thor,
That's Norse god.
Norse god, sorry. But, it's kind of hard to hold that type of personality, throughout all these movies. So, the change that he did, I think it was kind of refreshing.
Yeah,
I thought that's what I mean. I think I think it played well. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I would see it again. Still some action in it, so you still had that. It wasn't just like stand-up comedy.
No, right. But it still would have been great, though. But some of the things he had, just interaction with, Hulk and with his brother. I think, too, that's part of the deepening culture, deepening character with Loki. There's that scene where they're in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, in the elevator where Thor was a little... They had a moment of the brother moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the deepening, too, where he was saying something about... I'm sure we'll hear the bite around, we'll find it, but where they're in the elevator and he says something about, I don't think this is good that we aren't together. We finally figured this out. And Loki, if you look at his face, has a very serious look on him. Like, he's not joking around. He has that, like, he's absorbing that. And I think that's part of the whole thing about when Thor deepened his character, kind of pulled everybody with him, and you kind of really see the layer,
Loki, I thought the world of you. I thought we were going to fight side by side forever, but... At the end of the day, you're you and I'm me.
That underneath there's the brother thing, too.
Well, there's the two sides of Thor, the comedic side, and then there's the becoming a leader and having to be more...
Yeah.
Taking on a more... A greater level of responsibility.
Which sort has
of
been
taking,
waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the previous movies, I think they kind of kept that same type of relationship to where, you know, Loki and Thor, you know, in the end, they realize that it's, you know, they're brothers, and they're brothers for life, no matter who does what. In the first movie, when Loki's, you know, kind of first doing his whole betrayal and just before Thor's banishment, you know, there was a kind of sense of, you know, Loki, what are you doing? Just kind of like a brother-to-brother type of conversation.
Right.
Same thing goes back into the Dark World where they have Loki prison, and Thor has to go to Loki to tell him that their mother had died in the invasion.
Right.
And Loki had his, you know, holographic double just kind of, you know, in regular mode, but Thor knew that he was taking it hard. And so as soon as Loki had, you know, turned off his tricks, he had just completely thrashed his cell because he knew that he loved his mother.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Thor was, you know, Odin's son, but, you know, Loki, you know, his relationship with his mother was just as strong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Thor knew and understood that and went straight to him. Yeah. And so that was that brotherly bond in that movie. And then we go into the elevator scene with Ragnarok. I kind of like how they maintain that relationship with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nothing like mythology at all.
Oh, sure. So no, nope. And that's the...
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things we'll always be about, we really look at characters and their growth, things they're going through, whatever movie they are, because you can refine that element, I think, in there too. Well, let's look at this one. Facing failure. You know, they end up having a lot of things go wrong. And I think in the end, too, now the whole thing about Ragnarok is that they're fighting this character that's going to destroy the world, right? The
Fire Lord Surtur. Well,
Surtur, yeah.
Yeah, Surtur is, you know, the story of, you know, the Ragnarok. Surtur is the one that's supposed to cleanse Asgard. But, Ragnarok. You know, we see Surtur in the first, you know, few minutes of the movie, and didn't seem that big a deal. Thor takes his crown, takes care of him, that's it.
Yeah.
But then we get Hela.
Right.
My destiny is to rule all others.
And then, yeah, but so he thought his goal was to stop the whole thing with Ragnarok. And in the end, he basically knew, realized that they had allowed it to happen, that there's a time for everything, the time to end. And I think that's an interesting topic because failure, you know, you learn a lot from it. And the fact is, their mission was to stop it, and then they had to allow it to happen. That was...
Failure is your best teacher.
It is best teacher, yes. And I think that's it. You learn from it, and...
That's a Last Jedi quote.
I was just going to say that.
That was not the Last Jedi. That was long before the Last Jedi.
We'll bring that up later, but that's... Yeah.
Failure, we don't want to ruin it for Ron.
Right.
Our man in the chair.
But no, facing the failure, and the fact is, because you think about it, Thor got cast out, had all these things happen, go wrong, lost the Hulk, they all end up on that planet, mm-hmm. and then Valkyrie, who just at the bottom of her run too, and Loki, they're all just like outcasts, and so they basically face failure together, and it pulled them all together, and then there's another guy too, who's the guy that you liked, that was defending, he took... can't think of his name now.
Oh, Scourge?
Surge, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
Scourge the Executioner.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But that kind of goes back into our the end times. And, you know, there are all kinds of things going on right now. You know, all kinds of distressing things. And I think, you know, the end of the world and how we handle it too. And I liked how they... realize there's certain things you don't fight. I mean, this sounds almost like a defeatist attitude, but, you know, what is our role in that? And I think in a way they realize that they, I shouldn't say assist it, but they allow things to happen to let something finish, you know?
Be like water, my friend.
What's that?
Be like water.
Water?
So Bruce Lee said, yes.
There you go.
Sometimes you just gotta, you get pour water into the teapot, it becomes a teapot. Sometimes you just gotta go with it.
Yeah.
So you can't always... fight back. And I think the thing that they they see at the end is that Asgard is not a place, it's the people.
Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup.
Yeah, that's what they learned from it after. You know, it becomes destroyed, and
well, they have to let it be destroyed.
Yeah, well, there was that sense of failure, but then there's a realization as they look around. It's like, you know, it's just a place.
Mm-hmm.
It is, know. Right? Yeah, and I think, like I said, that goes into a lot of the biblical references in there, like the church. Right? It's not a building.
Well, that's what I said people. In my blog. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's exactly. The people, not a building.
No. And the thing about it is them getting... You know, I think about this too. If I could tie this in. I think of some relatives and people I have that I don't get a lot of time with now. But the thing is, do they get to heaven? Do they get there at the end? And that's more important. And sometimes it's losing now to gain something later. And I think that element in there too, they realize, wow, I'm holding too long on this place where it's really the people need to go to where, you know, they're not going to get lost.
And I think that happens a lot with us. As human beings, we latch on to things like our house and our car and our mm-hmm. whatever is important to you here.
Right.
And when really it's all fleeting. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
80 years is not...
You know, when we were going into, you know, the economic downturn and people were just really struggling to, you know, keep the things that they had, you know, I think they earned or gained throughout their life and... You know, here they're coming into hard times and they're just struggling to hold on to these things. And, you know, in a situation like that, you know, it's best to just, you know, let it go. You know, there's kind of this, you know, full circle that comes around. Some people gain back what they want or sometimes they gain more out of it, you know, just out of perspective of life of, you know, nice houses, nice cars aren't what the main goal is here.
Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, those things are nice. I'm not saying you can't have those.
No,
comfort is nice.
I think what people miss out on is relationships. It's the thing that I ended up talking to one of my students. Her mother and sister wanted me to write something. And what I basically told her was I was talking about basically quoting Charles Schulz, Peanuts author. You're never going to remember who won the Olympics 5 years ago or who won maybe the, got the Nobel Prize or whatever, but you're going to remember people who were in your life. So relationships become really important.
Sure, you got it. And you know what? And coming back to the end here, that one of the things that Thor was trying to avoid was to be like his dad and to take on that role. And in the end, he lost an eye.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his kingdom, pretty much, but he gained the
respect. He lost his hair.
Not my hair. And,
To Stan Lee of anybody else.
Right. And the thing is, but he gained something else, too. Though he lost the throne of Asgard, the coolest scene was when they're on that ship at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his, spins around, he's on his throne, he's on the ship, he's got the people, and Loki's at his side. And it's like, think about it, is they found their roles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so awesome. And you do, you find where you're supposed to be at. You may lose something.
He lost Asgard, but he got his brother. You know,
yeah, and then Thanos comes in.
Return to me again empty-handed, and I will bathe the stalwarts in your blood.
This comes in.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Is it Thanos? Or is it going to be...
Who knows?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Okay. It's a pretty big ship.
Was it a big ship? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. It was huge. It could either be Thanos himself, or it could be one of his... You know, the children of Thanos, Ebony Maw, Dark Elf.
I'm glad you know all these.
I know. Right. Oh, brought him along. Mm-hmm.
Proxima Midnight.
Wow.
And Gorvus Glaive.
Wow.
I've heard of Dark Elf.
But yeah.
Weren't they in... I mean, the Dark Elves were in the Dark World, right?
Right. Is that the Dark World, right?
That was the Dark Elves.
No. Yeah, but this is kind of different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. But the thing is, it's the change in the guard. It's things come back around, and then, a new chapter is coming. So, and I think that's kind of where we're going with all this is, we're doing good. Thor's story is about to pull everybody in. So we're on the crest of, and they did say that Ragnarok would be a change of all things, too. So, and obviously Hela is coming back.
Oh, I've missed this.
Asgard is dead.
She didn't, but we don't know what happened, right? Because Asgard's gone and they saw that disappear, but I'm sure they got more coming.
Well, another big change was a talking Hulk. That's what we got. It was a talking Hulk. Yeah.
No teeth, only Hulk.
Awesome. Yes, it was 2 years of that too, huh? But and their relationships changed. Kind of cool because they developed their relationship between Hulk and Thor and how much they're similar. So
we're friends from work.
I knew him. That's right. Oh my God.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, and then of course you gotta throw in Jeff Goldblum.
Any contender who defeats my champion. Their freedom they shall win.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm.
It's always Jeff Goldblum.
He had the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sparks. The little sparks.
Right, nice. Yeah, that might be how we end this whole thing. His little ending. It's awesome. But, hey.
Well, tell us about him, though, real quick.
Oh, the character? Here we
go. Yeah, because he's like the collector, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an elder of the universe, you know. The way Marvel describes it is that all the elders got together and that's how they, you know, created, you know, life and the universe and all the planets and everything. Kind of like, you know, with the help of, you know, the Celestials. You know, there's different types of Celestials and we met one Celestial, well, one and a half Celestials in Ego and Guardians of the Galaxy where, you know, he creates life on these planets, but you know, they're all kind of attached and a part of him. You know, it's different than, I don't know how all the other stuff gets created, but but Grandmaster, yeah, is along the lines as far as knowledge and power, like the Collector and like Ego, who have this unlimited knowledge of, I mean, they've been here for millions and millions of years. You know, even though Jeff Goldblum doesn't really act like it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a, you know, pretty powerful being in the Marvel universe. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got it.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, with the end credit, with the end credits with him, you know, how he gets off the ship and, you know, tries to convince the, you know, the
hordes in front of him that,
oh, yeah.
Good job, guys.
So, whatever happens to, you know, the Grandmaster, I hope he kind of sticks around. It's a great character.
Yes.
And it's a character that I don't think that Marvel could just write off.
No.
You know? And the same thing with the Collector, too. The Collector...
Oh, he's coming back, I'm sure.
Well, the Collector is coming back for Infinity War because he has two of the stones. The
stones, it seems, can only be brandished by beings of extraordinary strength.
Right.
So...
Yeah, he's going to get a nice visit, a nice door.
And how many stones?
No, he has one stone. He has he has the Power Stone, the Ether.
Oh, Ether.
Yeah. That's from the Dark World.
Right. There you go. So we're going to see it all connect together.
So there's six stones?
There's six stones. Okay. We saw, as they're trying to escape Asgard, Loki, you know, takes a nice Loki-style look at the Tesseract.
Yeah.
So
we know he's got it.
Oh, yeah. He's got it. And we know from the trailer he's kind of handing it over to Thanos. So,
yeah.
You know, whatever happens with... You know, at the end of Ragnarok and that ship comes in, I know Loki's going to be Loki and just kind of squirm and say, hey,
yeah.
Take everybody else, but, you know, here's me. Yeah.
Well, good stuff, guys. So we're kind of wrapped up Thor. I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about that we bring back around, and it's going to be coming in for Infinity Wars. But
oh, yeah, we could do another episode of Ragnarok. Oh, it was such a good story and a good movie.
Yep. Well, we're going to say goodbye for today, and... had a great time. So thank you for stopping by. Hope that we'll pick you up for more of these adventures. I'm still Gary.
Still Rudy.
Still John.
And class is now dismissed.
How'd you end up in here?
Oh, well, I tried to start a revolution, but didn't print enough pamphlets, so hardly anyone turned up, except for my mum and her boyfriend, who I hate. As punishment, I was forced to be in here and become a gladiator. Bit of a promotional disaster, that one.
Doesn't make any sense.
Nah, nothing makes sense here, man. The only thing that does make sense is that nothing makes sense.